The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
Hey, Al, you ready? Let's do it.
Week two of NFL eyeball crack on the red zone this week. Are there too many? Is there too many 1 p.m. or 3 a.m. kickoffs? There's too many, right?
No, but it's like here.
There's too much stimulus.
I thought that, but then I thought. Obviously, if it's for America, and then what?
I get that, but that's 1 p.m. on a Sunday. Like, do East Coast teams just not like playing it at 4:05 or 4:25? I don't get it.
Thing over there. They like. I was listening to another podcast about it, and they just seen he said it had his birthday. This is Bill Simmons, actually. He had his birthday and just sat there and watched football for the whole afternoon because it was it's just a tradition there. They have lunch, a Sunday lunch, and then just watch football for the rest of the day.
Yeah, but you could knock two games off.
They changed it.
Put a couple more at 4 o'clock.
I think they do change it a little bit. I
think just now because, like I said, the buys start week 6. So obvious, I could only assume that they'll knock 1 p.m. kickoff out of that. It's the 4 o'clock window, like the 4 p.m. window over there on a Sunday afternoon. You know, what is it, 6 a.m. here? It's like there's two games that start that kick off at 6, and then there's two games that kick off at 6:25. Like it's bizarre. You just get so overhyped after you've just watched 9 games on Red Zone, and then all of a sudden you've only got 4 after that. Do you know what I mean? You get a lot more sort of in-game action, but it's insane.
Wait till Daylight Savings screws us in the next couple of weeks.
It doesn't screw us.
No, it doesn't. It does, doesn't it?
It won't screw us here in Queensland.
If it's shown at 4 a.m. in Sydney, does that mean there's 3 here?
It still means it's 3 a.m. here because we don't change times here.
It'll only be
when America comes off daylight savings. Goes on to daylight savings. They come off daylight savings, which isn't until like the 7th of November.
So if they're 3 a.m. games put down in Sydney, does that mean they're 2 here?
No. So ours will still be 3 a.m., but everywhere else has gone the hour forward, it'll be 4 a.m. America comes off daylight savings, then our games will be at, the Queensland will go back to 4 a.m. It'll be 4 a.m. games then, so I'll be able to get an extra hour of sleep.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they keep picking we'll go through the games for week 2. If they keep picking the right Friday morning games, like it doesn't matter who's been playing, they've been rip snorting Friday games. Both for the first 2 weeks have been great.
They've been, and usually I don't think the NFL mind sort of giving you a bit of a stinker on that Thursday night / Friday morning game. For us, I don't think they really care.
They don't care, but they've worked out well.
The thing is, they should though, because that's a standalone game. They should be putting the stinkers on it at 1 p.m. on a Sunday because they can just get lost.
Because they get lost, exactly. So we'll rip through the scores. So that Friday game was Washington just beating the New York Giants 30-29. The Bears getting their first win over the Cincinnati Bengals 20-17. The Browns getting over the Texans 31-21. The Rams staying undefeated, beating the Colts 27-24. The Bills just dominating and getting their first win over the Dolphins 35-0. Like what if they should have been in the first week, but yeah, we'll talk about that.
Supposedly Miami having a fairly, if like you said, you listen to you know, the Bill Simmons podcasts all the time. I listen to the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, and they're based in Miami, and there's a lot of obviously Miami sports talk, and you know, obviously that's their team down there in the Dolphins, and they seem to think they've got some sort of elite defense, and it's like, well, we haven't really seen it, have we? Like collectively, well, just collectively, like they've got a couple of good defensive players there, but.
And not corners, they've got elite corners, but that's about it. They don't really have good defensive ends, so
as a collective,
speak, so.
I'm just like, absolutely not.
No, definitely not. The Pats beat the winless Jets 25-6. The 49ers beat the Eagles 17-11. The Raiders, another unbeaten team, beating the Steelers 26-17. The Panthers undefeated, beating your Saints 26-7. The Broncos beating the Jags, again, undefeated, 23-13. The Cardinals beating the fast sort of finishing, so to speak, I guess. It was sort of a weird topsy-turvy game, but they did
beat.
That was a wild game. They beat the Vikings in a thriller, 34-33. The Bucks. I guess what, flexing their muscles probably, 48-25.
They just dismantled Atlanta.
Oh, they did. The Cowboys getting.
How did they score 25 points?
I don't know. See, that's the other thing about that game. I don't know how they scored 25 points.
For us, an elite defense that was unbelievable in the second half of the year last year. Mm-hmm. They just haven't. They've leaked points. You know, they leaked 25 plus points.
I'd say the same for Washington Dallas. As well. For everybody that talked up Washington's D, and they've leaked points everywhere. So
yeah, it's but for them for Atlanta to put on 25 and to be relatively close in that game as well until the Bucks sort of took over in the final quarter
in the fourth quarter. So that wasn't even garbage time for the just to put it in perspective for the Falcons. So it's not like they were getting points in garbage time. They're getting points in the middle of the game. So
the third quarter they got it to within 3 points.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Cowboys getting their first win against the LA Chargers, 20-17. The Titans beating the Seahawks, 33-30. The Ravens beating the Chiefs, talk about a game, 36-35. And Packers getting their first win and dominating the Detroit Lions, 35-17.
It's the Detroit Lions, there's no better remedy, for after losing, fairly comprehensively in week one than playing the Lions in week two. So,
that game because I know what you mean, but I'm not going to keep putting, they seem to try. It looks like Jared Goff's trying. Like they're trying.
Oh, absolutely. This is what Dan Campbell, the head coach, talked about all off season when he was named there and everything. They are just going to scratch and claw and fight their way in these games, and they're not going to get beaten on effort. They're going to get beaten by teams that have got better rosters. So they're not going to get out enthused and outworked. Yeah. And look, the open. You could see Green Bay was trying to sort of bash him a little bit and get the run game going, but the Lions, especially on their opening drive, just marched down the field and scored a touchdown with ease.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, and that just shows that I still think I'm not still completely sold on their defense. Green Bay,
I don't think they have much to offer defensively. Like they'll be a mid to lower table type defense. I don't think that they might be able to hold their own a little bit. I can only assume that they will hold their own against the poorer teams. But once they start coming up against the elite teams. Around the league there's really not that much threat in their division, really. The Vikings who you just don't know what the hell they are. and that they've been like that since Kirk Cousins got there. But they'll just be a mid table defensively. They're not going to thrill anybody with that.
With Aaron Rodgers by getting sacked three times in this game, goddamn, they're missing that Bakhtiari.
Big time. Big time.
They're missing him big time because he protects Aaron Rodgers ridiculously well. So,
no, that's right. Well, it protects his blind side. The left tackle protects the blind side. So, yeah. And if you've got an elite left tackle, then you've generally got a lot of confidence in what your quarterback can do, especially when he's back turned, and especially if they're a right-handed quarterback, which 95% of the league is at the moment. I'm just trying to think the only starting quarterback I can think of that's a lefty is Tua.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, Tua and... No, is there one more? No, I think it's just Tua.
Lefty.
It is just Tua. It always looks fun. I mean, I'm a left-hander myself, but when you're watching these games, it still just looks funny to me.
What looks even funnier, like, is a left-footed, like, is a left-footed kicker.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can have your left hand quarterbacks.
It's about the punter's left.
Either a punt or a place.
Yeah,
a place kicker would totally throw everybody out.
Oh my god, it would throw.
You got to do. You got to do things backwards. Like that.
The camera's got to go around. Oh my god. Yeah. So, it felt like Aaron Jones was a bit of a beast in this game. Not so much the run game where he got a rushing TD, but he got three receiving TDs in that red zone.
He was a machine in this. And look, as I said, that they clearly tried to go out there early in this game and get something established that they couldn't get established against New Orleans last week, and that was any resemblance of a run game. And they did okay. Not quite 100 yards rushing as a total as a group, but for them, like you said, Aaron Jones, did pretty well. 17 rushes, 67 yards. So at least they were getting some sort of penetration, in the rush. But it was the Aaron Jones receiving touchdown and the Devontae Adams show.
Yeah, Aaron Jones was just easy picking sort of, or he found easy pickings in that red zone sort of area. That 10-yard area, he was just always seemed to be open, which is a little bit perplexing for the Detroit Lions. But like you said, I think it boils down before we move on. That's just that they're coming against Detroit Lions and. If you need, you're following a huge defeat in yourself, and that's the best way to sort of get to win. It's either Detroit Lions, who, again, once we get to New York Jets, they're trying so much harder than the New York Jets. But
oh, absolutely, yeah, the Jets just don't look like they're trying at all. But look, the Lions were in this game.
Yeah,
there's a couple of really poor sort of decisions.
They were in last week's game too.
Yeah, that's right. There's a couple of really poor decisions, I thought, in this game. It was a fourth and one. It was like 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. It was a fourth and one, and can you just not try and draw up a sneaky little quarterback sneak, or you've got DeAndre Smith, you've got Jamal Williams there, but they try this ridiculous sort of slant pass to nobody, and they turn the ball over on downs, and. They were within field goal range. It's an easy 3 points. That goes begging. On the next drive, Green Bay scores a touchdown, pushes themselves out to I think it was to 16 points or so. So it's a huge turnaround, and that I think that sort of deflated the Lions a little bit. That they sort of not so much didn't put the 3 points on, but that fourth and one play, and then in the right as the third quarter ends. And this was huge. Was the Jared Goff fumbled snap, and the ball goes down. It's recovered by Green Bay, and that's it. They tried to not so much rush, but they wanted to get that one more play in before the end of the quarter.
Yeah, pushed a play too quickly.
And it was probably a 50-50. It was a horrible looking snap, and Jared Goff's got to pick that up, but it goes on the deck. I think it might have even taken somebody's boot, and you know, sort of flew off, flew around as Goff was looking for it. The Packers pick it up, and you know that was really the game clincher that they, I think that the Packers sort of needed to really put Detroit away, and that sort of, like you said, they're not going to be out enthused, but yeah, I thought that was a really pivotal sort of play in that, because Detroit was still in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, I thought they were in the week one as well. So I think.
Oh, they had that flurry at the end there against San Francisco. Like I thought that just would have put a bit of a fright through them. But like you said, they're not going to get out efforted, if that's even a real word. But we'll. All you can do is it's the start of the season, so you know everybody's still got plenty of energy and. Yeah, you know, the season is still alive, so we'll see how much effort and enthusiasm they have, you know, come week 12 or week 13 when they're, you know, 2-10.
Just as the rain's coming down, we might as well go. The rain's just coming out of nowhere here.
Terrific.
It is pretty good actually. We might as well we might as well go backwards. Since we started at the bottom, we'll move on to. A ripper of a game, or watching it, it was a ripper as well. But the Ravens getting over the Chiefs, 36-35. That was. Oh,
tell you what, I was waiting all day for Sunday night and waiting all day for to watch a little bit of Kerry Underwood action. But this game was out of control.
Kerry Underwood.
Have you seen the new intro to Sunday Night Football?
Ooh, I have now. Doesn't feel PG to me, but anyway.
No, that's definitely for the 18-35 demographic. Holy moly, that's going back to like WWF Attitude Era kind of risque, you know. Just the thought I might have been watching like Stacey Keibler or you know, something like that. Good grief! Go
astray as well. It was a ripper of a game. It was really a ripper of a game. Like it started hot just in the first half. I thought like that.
It started off with Lamar Jackson in his first three plays, and he throws an interception because Sammy Watkins falls down.
Yeah. And I mean, for Sammy going up against his old team, it felt like a bit of a deja vu of like that. What he used to do for the Chiefs. Tend to have those simple errors. So,
like Tyrann Mathieu, he was everywhere in that first half. You know, he picked off Jackson. He picked off Jackson again. You know, he threw into triple coverage.
Yeah.
Like, in what world is that a good pass?
But he can be absolutely brilliant in games,
Stick to the run game. They were being so successful in the run.
But like he, I know he has and, to, no, he know still he has had to. That in this game.
No, but I he, know that, but he has to pass it eventually. But they've got so many good designed run plays, and you know, like and quarterback pullouts of when they look like they're handing off to the run back, and he takes it back and darts off and gets you know 10 yards here, you know 8 yards there. Just stick to what got you to the dance. There's triple coverage.
And like you're only Sammy Watkins really wasn't getting any coverage. Well, for some reason in this, he had your double and triple coverage. But I'll be like, you've got Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown, who was really good in this game. It felt like he was left open a bit. They sort of left him open. And
yeah, that's right. Baltimore had 100 plus rushing yards in the first quarter.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
And Jackson's thrown two interceptions.
Yeah.
You're just like, man, just stick to the run game and make the Chiefs try and stop you there. And if they can't stop you there, then you just keep going.
Like, that's the thing with them is that they have a really good, you know, like Tyrann Mathieu, like a really good secondary in your
line. They've got a good secondary, but they're defensively, they're just not. They're just not there at the moment.
Well, that's my point. Like, so you probably they did end up eventually sticking to the run game because Lamar ended up getting two touchdowns and over 100 yards anyway. I kind of think the on the flip side, Kansas is just sort of showing signs that they're possibly abandoning the run game. I mean, they tried, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't do much in this game. I think he got 13 carries, 46 yards. Yeah, he did.
No, and so, that's the thing too. Like, you know, he had a key fumble in that game as well. That you know, it not so much a fumble, it was more of a strip, really, than a fumble. But it just, you know, and it happened in the final 2 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
And they're still, that's, I mean, Kansas City are chasing this game, and you just can't have your star, you know, your big pickup running back. With you know, hands like penises, like he needs to hang on to it. This is the kind of stuff that Ezekiel Elliott was doing towards the end of last year. He had a case of the fumbles in the last month of the season, and Edwards-Helaire is having the same problem. But it's not so much you can have these turnovers, but to have them in crucial times like that when Kansas City's on the march. And they're chasing this game, and he has this, and it basically sets up Baltimore to ice this game, and they go for it on a 4th-and-1. They had John Harbaugh had to come out and you know, ask the most ridiculous question in the world to Lamar Jackson: do you want to go for it? And it's like, yeah, of course we get this 4th-and-1, and the game's over.
Yeah, the game. Yeah, you're right. I think that, I mean, the telling point, because they were, I thought, you know, going into the third quarter, they were sort of well and done, the Chiefs at 35-24. I guess the key was getting Mahomes getting intercepted that was intended for Kelce by Young. That was probably the telling part of that sort of game, because they sort of, they got a touchdown pretty quickly straight after that, so.
That's right. It's the... Yeah. You can turn the ball over. It's all well and good, but you've got to be able to, you know, A, try and back it up, or B, you can't do it in poor field position and give the opposition a short field, and that's what's happened.
Yeah, yeah, and then like you said, probably the other talent, you know, especially right at the end where, you know, Edwards-Helaire, he fumbled the ball, didn't he? Yeah, no,
he got around the back of everybody, then he got mobbed. And it was more of a punch out than a true fumble, but it still goes down in the stat sheet as a fumble, and you just like, man, but I get, ball security is at a premium, but he's had a couple already this year, and it's like, ooh, he doesn't want to, you know, have that in his game. He'll want to shore that up.
The biggest thing in this game was, before we move on, I thought was that Patrick Queen had Tariq Hill just wrapped up. He knew exactly where he was. He was everywhere he was. And I don't think, if I remember correctly, Tariq Hill didn't get hardly any yards in this game.
Tariq Hill had 3 receptions for 14 yards. This is what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
You know, outside of Kelce and Tariq Hill, who scares you there?
No, you know, no one named Pringle or McCall Hardman, because they don't scare me, so... No. It's it's interesting.
When plan A goes out the window.
Well, they might have to jump on the waiver, you know, the waiver wire we call it, but they might have to jump on that free agency bandwagon, because they're probably going to need someone. Possibly.
Well, like I said last week, I think Josh Gordon is a prime target for them.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, this was not clearly evident, but Kelce got his stock standard 100 yards, which is
of course.
I always scared of picking him in a first round of fantasy, but then I go, well, why don't I? Because goddamn, he's just so stock standard.
It's so consistent.
Oh my god. Speaking about consistency, Derrick Henry, the Tennessee Titans.
Oh man, he is back, baby.
King Henry, like, just
holy moly.
He got 100. This is the concerning thing, but so he got 182 yards and 3 touchdowns. And, you know, powerful and everything. He had 35 carries.
35 rush attempts.
That's not good. That is not good.
Oh, when the well's not dry, you just keep dumping that bucket in and just keep pulling out the water. Like, just keep it coming.
But I thought the whole...
They couldn't stop it. This is what I was talking about before with Baltimore. if they can't stop you, then you just keep bashing it up the middle.
I understand, but when I get your point, but the problem is, well, not the problem, but you've got two elite wide receivers there in AJ Brown and Julio Jones, and while they did get the ball, give him a break. You've got two elite wide receivers there. Throw them the ball instead of giving it to Derrick Henry. And it's working, don't get me wrong. But Tannehill's a bit sort of up and down this year. I don't know what you think.
They were disgraceful last week against Arizona. Like this
and
was
even this week. I think he got this
was a
this,
but yeah, but this is a huge bounce back for Tennessee to go into Seattle and beat Seattle, which is the first time that Seattle has been beaten in their first home game of the season for like 8 years.
No, I know. I understand that, but I'm saying it's on the back of Henry. That's all I'm sort of getting at, and that's fine. And we get. If it's going to win you the game, it doesn't really make a difference what happens. All I'm getting at is for Tannehill the way he was last year, and then you get someone else who can create separation and Julio Jones.
No, that's right. But Tennessee had the ball for 42 minutes.
Yeah.
42 minutes. So they had so many more, opportunities for offensive plays. Mm. So, even Tannehill still threw the ball 40 times. So that just shows how much ball they actually had and how much they needed to have, because they got off to a really poor start in this game.
Tennessee did, yeah.
Tennessee got off to a really poor start in this game.
Oh, that second quarter, that I thought, 21 unanswered points in that second quarter. I thought Seattle were coasting.
And they should have. I just don't understand how they threw this game away at home.
I don't understand, not that of what's going on, but I'm, quietly concerned of what's happening with DK Metcalf. Lockett's on fire, but Metcalf is sort of a touch non-existent. I don't know if he's getting too much double team or what's going on.
There's a possibility that you've got to put a big body on him, because he's a very large, wide human being. So I think it's just a matter of that's what's happening. And at this point in time, Tyler Lockett seems to be, the benefiting a lot from it. So
he's jacked. DK Metcalf. Oh my God.
God.
And he's quick and everything, but look, yeah, you're right. I mean, going into Seattle, getting a win at Seattle, like you said, there's their first loss in 8 years. Is that what you said? Sorry,
it's something insane like that. Like their first, yeah. Like when their first home game of the season. So they're generally pretty solid in the Russell Wilson / Pete Carroll era. That they've been pretty solid on their first home game of the season, and for them to lose, especially after having such a big lead and then throwing it away, like you just can't give. They missed the PAT sort of late in. Was it late in that third quarter?
Yeah.
And it just gave Tennessee that sniff, and that's all they needed.
Mm. Yeah, they did. And look,
a huge turnaround for Tennessee after being. Yeah. Yeah,
that's
pretty
exactly
piss poor last week against
Arizona. Yeah. Dallas coming into SoFi Stadium and just sort of at the end, really just sort of sneaking away with that win, because they started hot. They were starting on fire.
Impressive.
Getting two sort of quick touchdowns, and then clearly, because it was working, just went to the run game. Because that was working,
and that's another way and another reason how you control the clock, probably the first three quarters, the Chargers' run game was non-existent.
Yeah, you're right. They're funny. I mean, they have a great running back in Austin Ekeler, but it felt non-existent. I mean, it was non-existent really, especially in that sort of first half at least. But even I don't know. I still like Justin Herbert. I think he can sling the ball. Clearly can sling the ball. I don't know if he's accurate enough still yet.
I mean, this is only year two, so and he's got some pretty good, you know, weapons to throw to there as well. So I think that's sort of, and I think his offensive line is a lot more competent than what people think. So giving him time in the pocket, having the weapons that he's got there, you know, and even Austin Eckler's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. So that's always good there. He's actually starting to use Mike Williams, not so much as a deep threat, but, you know, just in general play, which is good. But yeah, you could definitely tell that they were having the Chargers defense was having a lot of trouble trying to contain Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott.
Tony Pollard, I mean, especially, you know, 13 carries. You know, it's not bad having that sort of 1-2 punch. If Zeke was good in this game, but, you know, they shared the load and it worked. I mean, it worked really well.
Look, they nearly had 200 rushing yards.
Yeah, exactly.
As a group. So
Tony's a bit of a juker. Like, you know, he can sort of, he can skip sort of around and all that. I mean, Zeke can do a bit of both. He's that thumper and he's also that juker. But Pollard really, I think because he's got the smaller frame, can really... It also reads blocks very, very well.
Yeah.
Very well. So that always helps as well. So, look, I mean, obviously I love the Dallas sort of first win. I'm not so overly concerned about the Chargers. So I sort of like where they're at the moment.
Yeah, I think the biggest part for them was their penalties. Like that just gifting the Cowboys yards defensively. And some of their offensive penalties were brutal to watch, like holding penalties. And, oh, my God, what are they doing? But towards the end of it, too, was there a lot of people have been talking about it. Was there a little bit of clock mismanagement towards the end by Mike McCarthy?
Possibly a little bit. I mean, yeah, no, it kind of looked like it.
I mean, it worked out. Like Zerline slots a 56-yarder to win it, but... I'm not sure what the hell is going on there.
Same thing. If you look back at sort of, well, not all of it, but last year's tape, or you just go on YouTube, his clock management isn't the best.
His clock management is extremely poor.
But see, I don't think he's in this place yet. He's not like a Rodgers or anything like that. But to me, shouldn't the clock management, while you've got your head coach, and it should be the one. If it's not working well, shouldn't the quarterback sort of be saying something? Surely they can relay to each other.
Who's your offensive coordinator? Is it Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore.
Yeah, the offensive coordinator. Well, that's on him. Like, you know, I get, you know, McCarthy's got to look over these things, but that's also on the offensive coordinator as well.
Well, this is true. No, you're right. And it happened a little bit last year too, I noticed. It definitely happened a bit last year. So, but yeah, I'm not too worried about the Chargers. I mean, next week they've got, you know, they've only got the AFC champions, the Chiefs. So we'll see how that goes. Who are coming back from a loss? So I'm sure they'll be up for it.
Yeah, that's right. Going into Arrowhead as well. So that's gonna be a monster game next week.
The Bucks. I mean, their second home game beating the Falcons, who are winless at the moment. Just high scoring everywhere. I mean, Mr. Brady himself got sacked three times, but he also got five touchdowns.
So. Oh, man.
He clock manages like nobody. He knows how to clock manage nobody. He knows, to put that in perspective.
He knows what's going on. Look.
He shares it around too. I love it. Like,
no, that's what they've got to do. Like, that's how the Bucks have got to operate at the moment. Like they've got the buffet there, so everybody's got to try and eat. And you know, this week was especially after Mike Evans really being non-existent last week. Like he got himself two touchdowns and 75 yards. So that was sort of very pleasing Gronk. To see. Gronk.
Well, he got two last week too, and he got two again this week. That might be just a running theme of him getting two touchdowns in that red zone all the time.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's just what happens. But yeah, Atlanta. That's the only sort of, I guess, concerning thing to me. Like we sort of said at the top there, that that this supposedly elite defense. And look, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, Mike Edwards had two pick sixes, so they're a good defensive unit, but they haven't just really showed it this week. I think those two pick sixes as well sort of inflated the score. And again, Atlanta got within 3 points. They got to 28-25.
You're sort of saying, yeah, that was just concerning how many sort of points were leaked is what you're saying.
I can't overreact already, but, you know, Atlanta, who just been, man, they've been pretty poor defensively in that first week. And for them to sort of lay 25 on Tampa, you know, in a divisional game. But, yeah, nonetheless, for them to sort of lay that on, I thought was a little bit concerning. And for them to get that close, you know, at 28-25, and then just that fourth quarter surge by the Bucks, put the game to bed and just put the pedal to the floor, and they overran Atlanta.
Atlanta were well in that game at 28-25, and then it just sort of, like you said, it just went sort of pedal to the metal basically, and then just, yeah, it was three pretty much unanswered touchdowns. It was ridiculous. So,
well, that's right. And there was the Godwin touchdown, to kick off, you know, early on in the fourth quarter. But that's it. Then the reason why the score got that inflated is Matt Ryan's trying to chase this game and throws two pick sixes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're exactly right there. We'll rip through some more games. I mean, we're not going to go too slow or too quick on this one because this was a good game. The Cardinals beating the Vikings. Kyler Murray's a bit of a freak of a player.
threw a couple of bad interceptions, though.
Oh, he did. He did. I mean, he did. He has that in his game. He really has that in his game. But, God, you know, He knows how to create separate. You know, that sounds weird because he's a quarterback, but he knows when to sort of run and create separation. But he only had to throw 36 times to get 400 yards.
400 yards, yeah, but that's 77 on one play come from that Rondell Moore run.
Bomb. It's still over 300 yards.
400 yards.
That's over 300 yards with you know, D Hop only getting 50 of that. So
no, exactly.
And it was a topsy turvy sort of game. Again, Minnesota started pretty well in the sort of first quarter, and then Arizona came back.
They were up 20-7.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. And then they sort of had that up until that sort of end of that second quarter. They sort of surged back with themselves, it would have ended up 20-20. I think it was 24-23. Yeah, going into the sort of second half. So, yeah.
And look, the Minnesota had the chance to win it.
Yes, they did.
They had the chance to win it. So it was really funny too that just sort of once again listening to the pod that I listen to, they like sort of, you know, pounding on the misery of a lot of teams. They had a soundbite of the Minnesota radio call of this game, and it is hilarious. It's, you know, Greg Joseph gets. They got the Cousins had a perfect final drive to get Joseph into position to be able to kick this final field goal, and
which was 37 yards.
And the commentator on the radio, you know, and you're probably listening to, if you, you know, you're listening to the Minnesota, you know, radio call, you're probably in the car or, you know, do you know what I mean? And he's just like, the kick is up and it's good. And then the other commentator's like, it missed wide right. And the other, like the lead commentator's just like, oh my God. And the other guy just keeps on, he missed it wide right. And he's like, Oh, what a gut punch. And you're just like, oh my God. Like, what if you're a commentator, especially with something like that, are you looking for the ball going between the sticks, or are you looking at the two back judges putting their two arms in the air to say that the field goal is good.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they would have been waving their arms saying that the field goal is no good.
Correct. Yeah.
Got a little bit too excited. It's just like, oh man, what a screw up that was.
But that drive was so good that, you know, 9 plays, 2 minutes. It was absolutely set up perfect by Cousins.
And that's then, how you do it.
Yeah, 37 yards. And then it should have been Minnesota's win. It should have been Minnesota's
absolutely.
Win. Absolutely. So, I don't mind. It's sort of weird. I guess it's sort of the, and that's probably the only way it's going to be this year, but. You know, the rushing for Arizona is probably going to be shared between not just the Edmonds and Connor, but Kyler Murray as well. That's probably just how it's going to be.
Oh, of course, yeah. Kyler Murray will get plenty. You know, he's a foot shorter than what Lamar Jackson is, but he's going to be that same sort of player. That speedy guy knows how to get out of the pocket.
He'd be quicker than Lamar, but he's not as big as Lamar. That's the difference.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But they would I would think as the year goes on that they would draw up a lot more running plays to get him into the game in that regard, just as that extra threat.
Broncos getting over, well, they're now winless still at the moment, the Jags.
Teddy looks all right.
Yeah, he does. And that was Sutton's, you know, obviously clearly his best game for over a year because he's been injured for so long, but Teddy looks fine. Teddy looks extremely comfortable. Didn't throw an interception. Yeah, he's got sacked 3 times, but that's, you know, not necessarily his fault.
I mean, that's
interceptions
fine.
Are the key. And so I thought he was fine. On the other side, Trevor Lawrence is, you know,
struggle town.
Yeah, that's protection as well. But, you know, it's all that. And he's also threw 2 picks as well. So, a little bit of a struggle town there, aren't they, at the moment?
Well, and the thing is too, like if you're not getting any protection up front, then it's going to be hard for Lawrence to shine. But that's also going to be hard for their run game as well. And that's essentially non-existent.
No, yeah, it was okay last week, but then this week it was definitely non-existent. I mean,
Robinson was terrible. Lawrence did not. Are they going to have to just say let's throw this season away? Not throw this season away already, but it's, man, Lawrence hasn't looked good in 2 games.
No, but you got rid of Gardner Minshew. You know, he was touted that he might sort of start, and it might have been the best option of probably keeping him there and playing the first couple of games.
You got to reap what you sow, isn't it? If you're Urban Meyer.
Sorry?
You got to reap what you sow if you're Urban Meyer.
Well, that's what I mean. That's exactly right. He's just trying to give
Trevor Lawrence that assurance. Is like, hey, you're our guy. Like, don't worry about the backup. You don't have to be looking over your shoulder and go, oh, you know, if I'm playing poorly. Then, yeah, there's the possibility that I could get dumped and Minshew could come in and do what he's done the couple of times that he's come off.
Yeah, I like the other way.
And started for Jacksonville and played okay. And it wasn't
like the
because
other
of Gardner Minshew that they lost 1,000 games last year.
No, I know, but he doesn't throw many picks as well. That's the thing. He also doesn't throw many yards. But
he's not a bad quarterback.
He's not a bad quarterback, but that's it. I would have done it. I like it that way more, where they – I like where they have the veteran or starter and then the first or second or third pick quarterback then plays in 6 weeks or whenever. I like that instead of starting the other way. But look, it's Urban Meyer reaping what he says. Denver's good. Denver's got a pretty well-rounded team. All they needed was just that sort of quarterback stability and it looks like they kind of found it,
I guess. With the quarterback and a little bit sort of less recklessness with Drew Lock. Like Drew Lock is like Josh Allen. Like he's got an absolute cannon for an arm, but he can be very reckless with the ball. So to look that it was not so much coached out, but it was, you know, it's happened now with Josh Allen that he's a good quarterback. From what we've seen so far, so it's not to say that it can't, that mechanics can't be fixed. But you know, it is what it is with Denver. Look, I guess the only Jacksonville highlight was the 102 yard kickoff return by Jamal Agnew.
And didn't that crowd go ballistic too?
They were going bananas.
It was awesome to see, because that's all that was the highlight for them.
That's the highlight of the game.
That crowd went ballistic. They were just chasing him home to get home. So
riding home, the favorite of the Kentucky Derby.
Jameis Winston got a little bit back to earth in this game, going down to Panthers.
I think the Saints just as a whole got brought back to earth after dismantling Green Bay last week. They were on the receiving end of a dismantling by Carolina and their defense.
And yeah, exactly. And their defense, because they contained Kamara expertly well.
Eight rushes for 5 yards.
Yeah, they swamped him because they knew. Just,
that's,
I mean,
that's unbelievable.
Even in his receiving, he only got four catches for 25 yards. So it was a defensive, you know, so to speak.
That's nothing more than a defensive masterclass. Like they had
Brian
New Orleans Burns. Rattles.
That Brian Burns, he's great. He's only 24, but he had a sack, but he had 2 quarterback hits as well. He's a really good player, Brian Burns. Their defensive isn't sort of too bad. It's always sort of been, again, probably like sort of Broncos, like a bit like their quarterback, who's pretty serviceable in this game, and Sam Darnold, you know, and getting it to who they need to in DJ Moore and obviously Christian McCaffrey. So.
Yeah, that's right. And look, you know, McCaffrey was good in the rush game as well. So, look, I think that this was just, like you said, it was more of a they brought the Saints well back down to earth. They were less than impressive. Jameis Winston was pretty ordinary. The couple of picks that he threw were, I guess, the Winston of old, which. The one in the final minute of the second quarter was him just trying to avoid the blitz, and it was a reckless pass, and you're just like, oh man, they're lucky it didn't cost them any points, but it was like oh boy, that looked like him wearing a red jersey, not a Saints jersey. It's not. I want to try and believe that it's not an excuse, but it's totally an excuse. The Saints were just decimated with injuries. Like they lost Marshawn Lattimore. He had thumb surgery, so he's questionable for next week, which is unbelievable. They had a couple of defensive linemen go down. They had 8 coaches not on the sidelines. Mm. For COVID protocols. Yeah. So you can't tell me that hasn't affected them in some way. It was like 5 of the defensive coaches. I think it was the tight ends coach and 2 of the running back coaches on the offensive side, but the rest of them were defensive coaches. So their start to the season has been a little bit of in disarray, you know, with being uprooted out of New Orleans. Sure. They're doing a lot of traveling at this point in time. You know, they've had to go to Carolina. Yeah, they still don't have any home games yet. So they've got to go to New England next week. So there's a lot of travel there. Like I said, it's not really an excuse, but that's out there. You know, Sean Payton had come out and said, we don't want to make it an excuse, but it is what it is.
Next game, the Raiders getting over the Steelers, 26-17.
Yeah, that was a bit of an out there sort of game. I thought, did we get fooled by the Steelers from their effort? From their effort last week.
I think so. Well, maybe not fooled, but that. I could be the other way. Are we getting fooled that how good the Raiders are playing to be 2-0, it could be sort of both ways, because they weren't that bad in this game, the Steelers. It's just that I guess the Raiders just, you know, it felt like, especially in that middle sort of middle half, they did what they needed to win. The Steelers, to me, you know, still had chances to win this game, essentially.
Yeah, no, they absolutely had. It was more the second half, I thought, for the Raiders that sort of got them the win in this. Look, the Pittsburgh were hampered a little bit defensively. They lost T.J. Watt in this game to a groin injury. They didn't have Devin Bush for the second week in a row. They had a non-existent. I'm talking about, you know, we talked about teams earlier this week that had a non-existent run game. God damn, Pittsburgh had a non-existent run game in this. It was unbelievable how poorly they tried to command the rush and try and just get something going. But yeah, Big Ben, he's getting no help up front.
No, and that's the problem. He's getting no help up front, hence why they had to abandon the run game and then go to the receiving game, which is, you know, speaking of that, is not too, you know, Najee knows how to catch a ball too, so that's kind of handy for them if they have to abandon the run game, and then he can, because he got a touchdown in this one where he can sort of, he's pretty handy with his hands, so to speak. So
yeah, look, they had some really good big chunk plays as well, the Steelers, you know. Chase Claypool is that deep threat. Deontay Johnson is a good, but it's just the so-called, you know, number one receiver there in Juju Smith-Schuster. It just, I don't think he's benefiting a whole lot with how poorly Big Ben's playing.
No, and I don't know if even if there's a way he's route running, I don't think he's the wide receiver one, because he's only signed a 1-year deal there. So I kind of think Johnson's their WR1 personally, but you've got three still great wide receivers.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, of course. Yeah. But the Raiders now are starting. You know, if they can't get the run game going, because Josh Jacobs was out in this game, so they had to sort of rely a little bit on Peyton Barber, which is not something that you really want to do. But look, they're starting to, and Pittsburgh sort of had Darren Waller. Yeah, not so much wrapped up. Like, he didn't get the 19 targets like he did last week. So, yeah, it was not as if they were trying to force the ball to him. And that's what I like. You've got to use Darren Waller as not so much as more of a distraction, but you've got to get the other guys involved and not try and force the ball to him. You know, Ruggs had 5 catches. Waller had 5. Renfro had 5. Kenyon Drake, the running back, had 5 catches. Like, you've got to try and spread that ball around.
Yeah, that's why Kenyon Drake's there anyway. So, look, Henry Ruggs, probably best game, I think, in that jersey. Not even saying this year, because it's only been 2 games. I just think in that jersey in general, because he was pretty poor last year. He wasn't up to expectations. He wasn't poor. He wasn't to that expectations.
No, absolutely.
That had.
No. So, I thought it was well below expectations. But
yeah.
Look, and that's the thing. Like I said, you know, with Vegas and their second half, 286 total yards in the second half. So yeah, that's obviously going to help your cause. And they just kept them at arm's length, I think. And doesn't look like that that Pittsburgh are going to be very handy in sort of chasing games. They've got to be up front and in the league, because it just doesn't look like they're going to have the ability to chase the game. Just the protection that Big Ben's getting up front, he's not a mobile quarterback, and he probably hasn't been for like 6 years. So we talked before we come on. I honestly can see, and it's only week two, but I honestly can see Dwayne Haskins. Because I don't know what Mason Rudolph is, but he's just not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's just not. But I can see Dwayne Haskins being the quarterback towards the end of this season. I think Big Ben's going to get hurt.
If he gets hurt, that's going to. But you're right. No offensive line, he probably is going to get hurt. Niners, I get, you know, sort of doing what they can, and their defense, I guess, sort of felt won them the game against the Eagles in 17-11.
Yeah, look, you know, and I've sort of been a bit of an advocate for Jalen Hurts and why aren't people sort of trusting him and in on him. This game was not so much as a passer. He was pretty poor. Like he was good in the run. Like he was flushed out of the pocket. Like that wasn't
a lot.
That wasn't designed
runs.
He was flushed out of the pocket because San Francisco's defense was coming after him.
Yeah, when you had Bosa and Fred Warner just, you know, terrorizing you. You know, Fred Warner was like just, even though he's a linebacker, he was sort of picking a little bit and just sort of going, yeah, I'm going to eat you for breakfast.
Yeah, so him, yeah, Fletcher Cox, though, everybody was getting into the backfield, you know, behind that offensive line. So that's not
yeah, that's true.
That's not a great sort of sign for them, but it was unbelievable. Like you said, you know, Fred Warner up front, you know, is such a good linebacker. But
oh my God.
They've just got, you know, Philadelphia, that they really have to try and protect
Jalen Hurts.
they ran Carson Wentz out of town, but nobody got, you know, Hurts threw 23 passes. So and nobody got any more than 2 receptions.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So you're right. It's a bit sort of, you know, he shouldn't be running for his life all the time. He needs sort of a bit better protection. Just move on quickly from this game. But is something wrong with Brandon Ayuk, or I don't know. Like one reception.
I don't know.
For
like
six yards.
It's just like you said. Yeah, Debo's back. Look, it's. I mean,
yeah,
I'll
I know,
like Ayuk.
But Jesus.
It's just one of them games.
Happened in the first week as well. So we'll just sort of see what happens in week 3, I guess.
Yeah. They tried to rush themselves to a win, San Francisco. Like, you know, this was not an offensive masterclass by any means. This was just like one of those gritty wins that teams can go out there, if you're a good team like the Niners are, go out there and get a gritty win, and that's what they did.
The Pats, I guess sort of, I mean, at the end of the day, I think because Zach Wilson threw 4 interceptions,
Oh my God.
Where Jones was, you know, he only threw 186 yards, but was clean. And that's his game. He got sacked 3 times.
Jones has
got
to be accurate. You know, for the meantime, dink and dunk your way to wins. And New England it was like they knew the Jets playbook.
I guarantee they probably do know that. I mean, they played them enough, so.
Oh, that was brutal to watch.
Yeah, I know. It was very brutal to watch.
2 interceptions in the first quarter, and you're like, oh my Lord, what is happening?
It's gonna be like, unfortunately, like, I don't think they're gonna. I think they'll get a win. It's gonna be like that.
Against who?
I don't know, but I feel like they have 1 win. I don't know. I don't know. That's the thing. I have no idea.
Let's see if we can find out where they can get a win. Good God. Look, I know we shouldn't be talking a whole lot of Jets football, but they've got the Titans, Falcons, the Patriots coming up, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, the Bills again, the Texans maybe, the Dolphins.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the Dolphins, because that's the next game. They got obliterated by the Bills, 35-0.
I mean, they'll spring a win on someone, but oh my God, like that's definitely one of those gloss over games where, look, New York, they got a decent sort of, you know, rushing attack out of there, but that's it. Like they just don't look like a very competent football team at the moment.
No. Bills won 35-0 on the back of just like murdering their quarterbacks for Miami. They got sacked 6 times collectively.
Yeah, that's right. Tua got busted up early in this game, and it looks like he's got some like broken ribs, so he's going to be out for a few weeks. So that means Jacoby Brissett, who they picked up in the offseason, that's going to be their QB for the foreseeable future, and it's that game just didn't look good all around, especially for Miami. And it was just like the Buffalo didn't need to do a whole lot. How the hell did they pile on 35 points?
Rushing touchdowns, because that's I mean, they got 3 rushing touchdowns, but they just because they murdered. I mean, Brissett got sacked four times. They just murdered their defense. Murdered Miami. Literally, it was absolutely ridiculous.
That's just a good old fashioned pummeling.
It was. Then that's pretty much all you need to say about that.
That's the thing. You're like, towards the end of the game, you could hear the boo birds coming out there in Miami as well. It's like, oh man, like they're getting a little impatient. I think this hesitancy, like, you know, obviously not evident in this game because, you know, Tua was hardly out there, but this hesitancy for, you know, Brian Flores and the offense, they don't have a great offensive line. But they've got good weapons there to throw to. This hesitancy to not unleash Tua, I don't know if that's Tua's confidence. I don't know if that's the offensive coordinator's confidence in him to be able to do it. I don't get it. Because look at what Justin Herbert's doing in LA.
Yeah.
And that's what the comparisons are going to be in 5 years, should the Dolphins have taken Justin Herbert.
Of course it will be. Well, we might do this next week, but I'd love to know from you, like, who do you think the first quarterback will be, I guess, head coach be gone for this year? Because, you know, the Rams, it won't be obviously the Rams. You know, they beat the Colts 27-24, but the Colts are winless at the moment.
Well, we said that in our preview, didn't we? Like, you know, that they've got their first five games are all playoff teams last year. They have got a brutal start to the year. And they, not so much they let this game sort of slip away, but they were really poor in the red zone again this week, the Colts.
I think there's something – you're right. They were absolutely poor in the red zone. I think there's something – I don't understand why, you know, you have two – tandemly great running backs in Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, and they don't really use him in that red zone that much at all. I don't know.
You've got Marlon Mack there as well. Like, he's no slouch.
No, well, he was a high end running back.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, injuries sort of, you know, didn't help, but yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird to me that that they don't use these guys at the end zone. Maybe Carson Wentz still getting used to the play, but I don't know. But god damn, they just don't at the red zone. I don't know what it is.
Carson Wentz not only hurt one ankle, but hurt both ankles in
both
this game.
Both ankles. So,
and it's questionable for next week. That boy just can't stay healthy.
But my thing is, if he was hobbling on one ankle, if you hurt both ankles, how the hell do you walk?
I have no idea.
I'm serious.
What are his bones made of chalk?
I don't know. Another Cooper Kupp or Stafford to Cooper Kupp sort of masterclass, and there's Cooper Kupp's just
Stafford. Could Stafford be an MVP candidate by the end of the year?
He's starting to be. You couldn't.
Is this all he needed? Just to get out of Detroit?
I tell you what, if they end up going 3-0, if they end up going 5-0 in the first 5 weeks, he'd have to be up there. Because it's possible. I wouldn't put it past, you know, generally goes to quarterbacks. I wouldn't put it if they're 5-0, it's always gonna be the quarterback.
He just looks so comfortable. I think he knows he's not gonna be obliterated every second or third play because of such poor offensive protection. He's just gone, oh wow, is this what real receivers look like? Is this what they look like?
Yeah, well, that's fine. Then throw to Robert Woods, would you please? I'm fine with that. Just throw to Robert Woods, please. that's fantasy talk. The Browns beating the Texans. I mean, it wasn't so much like it was a foregone conclusion, I thought.
The plucky Texans.
They really are. They really are. Like, you know, Brandon Cooks, who we picked up in a lot of leagues, we said it last week and same as again this week. Needed someone to throw to, and he creates separation.
And look, and unfortunately, Tyrod Taylor is injured again. Like, you know, you just got a feel for him. Yeah. So now they've had to bring the rookie in, Davis Mills. Who, didn't look too bad, but this was a you know, a very well managed game by Cleveland, in which, you know, Baker doesn't really have to, you know, be terrific. Like 19 of 21. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's still pretty damn good. But, you know, this game was managed very well by Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
And that is their game. That's how
they've got to do it. If it looks like that the passing game isn't going to really work, then let's go to our you know, plan B. That could have even been plan A.
I guarantee that was probably plan A, because I mean, look at who's really on the field. I think he got injured, Jarvis Landry, in this game anyway.
Jarvis Landry got hurt. This is the next week. If he doesn't make it, this will be like the first game he's ever missed through injury. Yeah. He missed a couple of games last week, I think, last year with COVID protocols. But he's a guy that just doesn't get hurt. So that was a surprise to see.
Yeah. And then this is me. I think it is plan A. When you've got, you know, a 1A, 1B and Chubb and Hunt, why
that's
not?
That's what it should be.
And this is all Baker needs to do to get a decent contract for Cleveland, because he'll just need to do what he does. They get the wins. He'll get his max contract. He's not going to get it probably anywhere with a team like, you know.
They've got an unbelievable defense.
Well, and they've got a great offense. They just probably need that, you know, OBJ possibly back. But they've got an unbelievable offense as well.
Next week, possibly.
The next game was the Bears getting over the Bengals. I just had to look twice at that, 20-17.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what the Bears are.
That's kind of how I took this sort of game. I don't.
Well, just Andy Dalton being sort of, you know, having that hurt knee just on a run play that he just got ran out of bounds, and all of a sudden he's sort of skipping and hopping, and you're just like, well, what the hell, you know, a non-contact injury like that. It's just like, oh, now they've got no choice but to bring in Justin Fields. They were using him a little bit as a gadget type player to sort of come in every now and then, but now it depends on if Andy Dalton can recover from this non-contact injury. But they had no real choice but to sort of go to a decent run game, and David Montgomery sort of, you know, led that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fairly well, I thought. I thought he did pretty well. I guess this is one of those games where the Bears defense,
yes,
did the job that, you know, that they smashed Burrow.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Like, he's still not getting protection. He got sacked 5 times, and I guess because of that, it was okay, the sort of passing game, but he kind of abandoned that and then shifted to the rushing game, which I can't work it. Why was Joe Mixon literally the only person rushing in that game? That's it. 20 carries. I don't get it. So I think you're right. I think Roquan Smith, what, you know, he got, you know, he was a beast in this game. I think
that pick six that he had. Yeah. That's the game breaker.
Yeah. So, I think I'll go with what you said. You know, what a Chicago, because I could have went either way in this game. The Bengals could have won this game theoretically.
Oh, they could have. But the scary thing was too that Burrow was that sort of rattled that he basically, you know, on three sort of separate drives, three separate play or three consecutive plays, he threw interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
I don't know what to make of that, but I still don't. You know, he was pretty good in this game, Jamar Chase. He ended up getting a touchdown, but I would have taken an offensive lineman way before Jamar Chase. You know, just
no way, Jamar Chase all the way.
He's going to keep getting sacked. That's what I'm. And then he's going to have literally, he's going to be, bones that are going to be turned to dust, Joe Burrow, because he's not going to, you know, he's going to get absolutely murdered every time.
If he continues to get a hit like this, which is the same situation he was in last year.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm saying. Like, I get
young quarterbacks just can't continue to get hit like that.
I get Jamar Chase, but you already had Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. So, but you know.
Yeah, but that's his LSU boy, so you know that they'll have that chemistry, like that.
Yeah.
I think offensive line is not so much an easier thing to solve, but when that sort of number one receiver comes up, which I think a lot of people think that Jamar Chase is a legit number one. You can't pass that up.
No, that's true.
Especially since they were college teammates as well.
I didn't think so. The final game, I didn't think I was going to say that this will be the funnest game of the week, but it was the funnest game of the week. It was so choppy, changey. It was exciting to watch. The crowd was, you know, the Washington crowd was on fire. The New York fans, I just love seeing them in the crowd when there's a lot of things happening in this game, but when that ball was literally on a pirate putter for Darius Slayton, and he was completely open, and then it slipped through his hands.
Mm.
Like, oh my god!
They had some big plays taken away from them, and yeah, like no more massive play that was taken away by the 55-yard touchdown run that Daniel Jones had was brought back just by just like a piss weak holding call. Mm-hmm. On CJ Board, and you're like, oh no, like that's the kind of confidence that Daniel Jones and the Giants needed, and it gets brought back, and you're like, no, you can't bring that back just for a poxy holding call, but that's what happened.
He was good in this game still, but Daniel Jones, he was fairly
serviceable.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. He was fairly serviceable in this game. He got them to the point to sort of, I guess, yeah, I mean, they had this sort of chance to win. They should have kind of won the game, I guess, at the end of the day.
Oh, no, Dexter Lawrence. No. Not so much what was he thinking, but why flinch like that? Do you know what I mean? When you're lining up, you're not going to be blasting through, you know, that offensive line to try and block the punt. Like it just, block the field goal. Like it's just not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Not happening. Yeah. And he missed the kick.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, Hopkins missed the kick.
And then obviously they had to, march it down the field. Yeah. You know, you are right. Yeah. It's a bit.
He must have just been, beating his head up against the wall. But, you know, the Giants were in this game up to their eyeballs. And it was mainly because of, like you said, you know, Daniel Jones is good, but Washington, their penalty count was pretty ordinary as well. Yeah. And that sort of kept, especially defensively, that kept the Giants alive in this game. And once they sort of went up to, off the Bradbury interception, and that sort of the field goal by the Giants put them up to, and then it was a great job by Henneke, who finished off both halves really well. I thought he had a really good drive at the end of the first half to get them on the board.
Good this game, Henneke.
He was good, towards the end of the game, he did well in getting his kicker into field goal range.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I totally agree on that. It was a good win by Washington. They did what they did towards the end there to get the win. We'll move straight on to our studs and duds of the week. Your stud of the week?
Tennessee and King Henry.
I was going to say, I wasn't even going to say Tennessee. I was just going to say King Henry. That's all I was going to say. That's all I need to say.
To beat
Seattle. I get it, like you said. Yeah.
Just him being back to his hulking best and, you know, not even just sort of, having a decent game, like an unbelievable game, like you had, like you said, 35 carries, and even six pass catches for 55 yards. So, I think is like the most receiving yards that he's had in his career in one game. So, just what the doctor ordered for Tennessee to come back and go into Seattle and win a big game like that. So I thought that was, yeah, that was terrific.
Yeah. Your dud of the week.
So and you know, I'll pin the team and I'll pin the player. Kansas City and Tyreek Hill.
I mean,
three catches,
fair.
14
I mean,
yards, man. That cannot happen. I don't think
the Kansas City Chiefs all would pin it on, but I definitely pin it on, I guess, Tyreek Hill. Like you said, that cannot happen for an elite wide receiver like him. That cannot happen.
For somebody who can create separation like he can with his insane speed, that's just, yes. that's unacceptable.
And like he clearly didn't. He must only create enough separation. He only had four targets in that entire game, in that absolute entire game. So, I'll go on the back of that. Yeah, it was a weird one by the Chiefs because he
just can't. It can't happen. It's a big game. It's a prime time game on Sunday night. Yeah. You know, Monday sort of morning ish lunchtime for us. That just can't happen. Like, you know, you've got to, you know, they had a little bit of trouble last week, putting away the Browns. So, you know, and this, yeah, I would have, not so much you would have felt comfortable them going into Baltimore and winning, but for them to sort of, to lose the way they did, you know, on the back of that and, you know, the defensively, the way that they base, which is no surprise that they couldn't really stop Baltimore's run game. That's no surprise because a lot of teams will struggle to stop Baltimore's run game.
They do struggle against Baltimore's run game. You know, you're right. But still, I mean, they've beaten them before. So, you are.
That's right. But to me, that's just unacceptable.
And you know, the Ravens coming in after a pretty
A heartbreaker
disappointing
against the
loss against the Raiders. So, that's fair. So just a little bit of news to finish on.
Not so much news, but you know, you got to have that little bit of acknowledgement of Aaron Rodgers. You know, the great that he is goes past John Elway into the top 10 for pass yards. So he's over 51,000 pass yards now. So, look, let's not get me wrong. He's not no Drew Brees, and he's, you know, 19,000 pass yards behind Drew Brees. You know, it's 70,000+. But who knows where his future will lie at the end of this year? Whether it still lies in Green Bay, Wisconsin, or at somewhere else, and has a bit of a, you know, late career resurgence, a la Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, the whole talk at preseason that started, it was possibly the Broncos, but I wouldn't be changing anything at the Broncos at the moment. They're going
but
great.
But if you had the opportunity, if you're the Denver Broncos and you know, Aaron Rodgers goes, hey, I want to be a Denver Bronco, then you unfortunately you'd be like, oh, sorry, Teddy.
But then on the flip side, then it wouldn't be that bad. I mean, it's still catastrophic, but it wouldn't be that bad for the Packers then taking Teddy the other way.
Well, that's right.
Three first rounders.
It'd have to be something insane like that. I thought the league this week sort of went a little bit overboard on the the taunting penalties.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. That was nearly my dud of the week.
Don't worry. For me, it was close because that's just. Look, when you can't, not so much that you can't have a little bit of person, well, you're not even allowed to talk anymore. Like, a lot of it's not taunting. Taunting and talking are two totally different things. Like, there was one in the Tennessee-Seattle game where all the defensive player did was after he made the tackle was just give a little bit of an arm flex. Boom. The referee, one of the side judges right there throws the flag out. It's like, really? Really? Is that what we're doing now? A little bit of an arm flex? Ooh, no, we're not allowed to have that. Yet, in... Like Lamar Jackson is allowed to, as he's going in for a touchdown, do a cartwheel as he's going into the end zone. Like, please.
Yeah, it seems like defenses sort of get a little bit.
Defenses get hosed all the way around.
Which, if I was a defensive player and I would do a sack or a stop on a third on a third down, I'd celebrate that just as much as a touchdown.
That's what they do.
Just as much, if not more than a touchdown. So,
that's right. Yeah. But that's it. But yeah, that's, I mean, it's overboard. I hope it doesn't continue, because all that's going to do is just piss a lot of fans off, and it's definitely going to piss a lot of players off.
Oh, definitely.
Because you sure as hell won't want to want, you know, a 15-yard stupid penalty, you know, off a, you know, a taunting penalty cost you 15 yards. And do you know what I mean? Like, put you on the back foot. You don't want that to happen. I think the league hopefully hasn't opened up a can of worms when it comes to this. But, yeah, I don't like the precedence that's been set so far.
Well, that'll do it for week two of our NFL pod. Don't forget, as always, our socials are Facebook and Twitter at Final Play Pod. And again, as always, we like to give a shout out to gimco.com.au for all.
Yeah, no, the boys, they always do a good job. Just recently had the big NFL break. You know, $100 puppy, so it wasn't too bad. I think we talked about this last week as well. So should be receiving my Washington football team cards in the mail very shortly. So thanks again, Dom, for that. Always a big shout out to those guys. It's always good. So, you know, we've got a great relationship with those. So, you know, there's always happy to give a shout out to the website there, gimco.com.au, GIMKO. And also Eureka Sports Cards as well on Facebook. So there's always plenty activity on them, you know, on the Facebook page and stuff like that. So always appreciative. So yeah, we always give a big shout out to those guys.
Excellent. Well, we'll finish the week. My name's Jason, purely because you mentioned it. Just name your team, Washington Smith. Come on.
Oh my God. Like, just name it. I'm Miles Sentinels Plum. Like, just do it. Do it already.
I feel like you're going to be, even though it's not your team, you're going to be quietly pissed if they don't name it the Sentinels.
I'm going to be very upset.
All the talk has
died down from that. Like, they sort of said at the start of the year like, you know, name talk. Like, what are we going to name to? I remember looking at a Twitter thread when they first sort of come out after they dumped the name. And they're just like, you know, they sort of, I guess it was their official Twitter account, and come out and said, you know, what do you think, you know, we should sort of call our team? I remember going through the thread, and yeah, 75% was, you know, was legit names, but man, some of that 25% that was on there, oh man, that was some good reading.
It's good reading.
Some people are very creative.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
In a good way and a bad way.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was about to say, I bet you if, you know, they got rid of the word because of racism, I'm sure there were still racist words being thrown around.
Yeah, there was some. Some of it on there was just downright nasty, and you just don't need to do that. But it is social media, and that's just what people like doing.
That's what it is, yeah.
But it's written words, so it's hard to, you know, take the context out of words and stuff, too.
Of course it is. But again,
things get misconstrued when it comes to written words on social media.
I just, you know, it made sense in the off season purely because you make the jerseys, you have everything ready, numbers, all that. I don't get it.
The off season is so long. Like, just get with the program.
I don't get it. I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
It's not even. It's going to be until next year.
It won't be. There won't be that. You would.
Well, it's not this year. It's not this year. They've already said next year.
Oh my God. It's just, I don't, yeah. Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, let's continue to call them the Washington football team. Like,
so hard to say it.
It's embarrassing.
It is.
It's embarrassing to say if you're a fan of them.
They're in my division too, so they even hate it even more.
If you're a fan of them, that's embarrassing.
Well, I don't know many, so.
that's true.
I don't know any. Well, have a good week, everyone.
All right, see ya.